You're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. This message is entitled Deliberate Discipleship and is taken from the scripture passage of John chapter 6, verses 66 through 71. The sermon was given on April 15, 2016, during the Communities of Recovery Experience service at the Friendly Baptist Church in Branson, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Core, good evening. Good to see you. Do you know that since I've been here, it's been quite a while, and since the last time I was here to speak, Carrie has received, I think, probably about 30 letters asking for me to come back to speak. He's gotten over 200 emails asking for me to come back to speak, and probably 25 phone calls. Now, he decided that if I would go to that much trouble to call him that many times, write that many letters, and send that many emails, he'd invite me back. So it's good to be here. Thank you for being here. I love CORE, and I love the people of CORE. And I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and in the work of transformation. I want to talk to you tonight about deliberate discipleship. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn it to John chapter 6. If you're using your cell phone for that, that's good. If you are not using your cell phone for a Bible, and you do not fall into these two categories, turn your cell phones off, please, for the next several minutes. And these two categories are, if you're not a medical doctor or a drug dealer, I can't think of any other reason you'd need your cell phone on, all right? It's amazing what we focus on. From 1911 to 1913, at the Louvre in Paris, France, the Mona Lisa was stolen for that 2-year period before it was finally recovered. And do you know that during that 2-year period, there were more people came to view that blank space than had ever been there in any 2-year period in the history of the Louvre? Isn't it amazing what we focus on. Now, let me ask you tonight if you are focusing on or following after a blank space. Some people are in their life. Or doing we have a good picture of really what Christianity ought to be spiritually. And we can only have that if we practice deliberate discipleship. Say those two words with me. Deliberate discipleship. Now, some of you, many of you, are followers of Jesus Christ. Some of you aren't. And my prayer is that before you leave this program of CORE, that you would discover the reality of who Jesus Christ is and what He can do in the reality of victorious living in your life. Some of you have already discovered that or are discovering that. But the fact of the matter is, until we get to the place of practicing deliberate discipleship. Say those two words again. Deliberate discipleship. We're not really going to discover just how vital and real Jesus Christ is. So, let me read this passage to you. We're in John chapter 6. And keep your Bibles open because we're just going to walk through this thing tonight and let the Word of God speak to us. And let the Scriptures unfold. And as they do, we'll discover some key factors of deliberate discipleship. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that You are that Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered them and said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" And He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Christ, being one of the 12. Now, I think we've got a discipleship dilemma in Christianity today. And I think this is a picture of where we are. We've got a real dearth and a real discipleship dilemma. We need to come to the point of deliberate discipleship and quit staring at blank spaces. Now, this was a turning point in the ministry of Jesus Christ. These followers of Christ were hungry physically, and so He fed them. Matter of fact, at the very beginning of this chapter is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Remember that story? They were hungry physically, so He fed them. But the reality is they were malnourished spiritually, but they refused to eat. Wow. That's the picture of a lot of churches today. That's the picture of a lot of Christians today. We're malnourished spiritually, and yet we don't belly up to the table. And that's a real tragedy. They wanted the food, but they didn't want the truth. And that happens far too much today. You see, we want information and inspiration, but what we need is transformation and confirmation. You see, Christianity is an act. It's a response of faith to God. It's an act, but that's not all. It's followed by an activity whereby you are constantly walking with Jesus Christ. Every day and every moment of the day. You see, it's an act followed by an activity. It's a step of faith followed by a succession of steps to where you are constantly walking with Jesus Christ. Wherever He goes, wherever He leads you, it began with a step. But then, it's followed by a series of steps that never end, by the way, until you walk through the pearly gates, my friend. It's an exciting journey with Jesus. Now, let's just walk through this this passage. Look at verse 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You see, the Lord's teaching was not hard to understand, and I'll be honest with you, it's really not that hard to understand today. I have a lot of people say, you know, I don't understand a whole lot about Christianity. Well, open up the book, stick your nose there, and it'll come to you. Yeah. It's really not that hard to understand. But it is hard to obey. And that's the picture we see right here. The truth that Jesus was relating to thousands of disciples, they didn't really want to hear it. Matter of fact, back up in that passage and go back to verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, well, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, does this offend you? Oh, wow. That's the picture, my friend. And then go on down to verse 66. I think it's interesting, by the way, just a little bit of an aside here, that verse 66 says, from that point on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I just find it interesting that that happens to be found in John 6:6:6. Huh. They murmured. They were offended. And then they departed. And they followed him no more. Well, let me ask you this. Would you be offended if I told you that God expects some things from us, from you? Would that offend you? I mean, such as, you know, the 10 suggestions back in Exodus? Oh, wait. Maybe they weren't suggestions. Maybe they were, oh, really? Well, would that offend you that God's given us some commandments to keep? Would it offend you that God's down on immorality, and God is up on morality? Would that be offensive to you? Would it offend you that if I said God's down on homosexuality, that he doesn't promote or approve of that? Would it offend you if I said that God's down on adultery, he doesn't promote or approve of that? Would it offend you if I said that God is up on tithing? Go ahead. Sit on your billfold. Would it offend you if I said that God expects us to worship Him? Not just at peace in the storm, but on a daily, regular basis. You see, and I could go on and on, but the reality is that we need to understand that there are some things in our Christian journey that God expects of us. But you see, when Jesus began to relate to these that He was teaching,
And they said, well, you know, hey, this is a hard saying. And then they began to murmur. And then we come to verse 66 where it says, all right, I've had it. I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore. Wow. You see, when the going got tough, some of them quit going. Aren't you glad? Aren't you really glad that when the going got tough for Jesus, I'm thinking of when he was looking up that hill of Calvary, carrying his cross. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say,
what, for those scummy core people I'm going to do this? Oh, and by the way, for that scumbag up there on the platform that's preaching, you think I'm going to do this?
Aren't you glad that Jesus went all the way to the cross for you and for me? If you were looking for a place to clap, that would have been a great opportunity right there. Come on. So how are you going to react when I say to you, hey, there are some things that God expects? Are you going to be like these disciples? They're offended, they murmured, and they forsook. Well, look at verse 67. Verse 67 says, then Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? You know, stop to think about it. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes, sandals, I guess. Put yourself in Jesus' sandals at the moment. And, man, this must have been a hurtful deal. I mean, he'd done this miracle for him, taken 5 loaves, 2 fish. I'm telling you, he could stretch food out better than one of your pier houses. Taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeding 5,000 people. And he's teaching them. He's pouring his heart out to them. And then verse 66 shows up and says from that time, they quit following him. This had to be a hurtful deal for Christ. And then he turns to his closest followers and he says, how about you, buddy? Are you going to stay? Are you going to stay? Are you going to leave too? How about you? Are you going to stay? Or you going to leave me too? Are you here to stay? Or I mean, are you getting the picture here? A pretty emotional moment. What it had to have been. Pretty emotional moment. Others are leaving and they're forsaken. They're turning back. They're turning away. Will you give in to peer pressure? Will you follow the crowd? Will you compromise? Will you go along with everyone else? You see, this was a moment of decision. Are you going to go with the culture? Or are you going to go with the Christ? Are you going to go with self? Or are you going to go with the Savior? I mean, this was a moment of real decision. This was an in-your-face situation for Christ. Go ahead, verse 68. Look at that. Then Simon Peter. You know, a lot of times Simon Peter didn't really come through for us. I love Simon Peter. And I think the reason I love him, I mean, first of all, the guy walked around with one of his feet stuck in his mouth most of the time. And I'm thinking, wow, that's sort of the way I am. And I think one of the reasons I really love Simon Peter is I'm thinking, wow, if Simon Peter can make it, there's hope for me. Because I can really shoot off my mouth a lot, just like Simon Peter did. But this time, he really shows up. Verse 68 says, "Then Simon Peter answered and said, 'Lord, to whom shall we go?'" I know everybody's walking away, and you're asking us if we're going to walk away too, but I'm telling you, the light bulb came on for Simon Peter. He had seen the feeding of the 5,000. And matter of fact, go back and read this whole chapter sometime, because he had seen the feeding of the 5,000, and then when they took up the fragments that were left over, you know how many baskets they ended up with?
12. How many apostles were there?
12.
This is more Scribner than Scripture. I think those 12 apostles had leftovers the next day, all by themselves, so that they could remember what they had seen Jesus do. Can't prove that. I think that's the way it worked. So Simon Peter had seen that. He had seen Jesus coming, walking on the water. And so Simon Peter ends up walking on the water. I know he sunk, but let me tell you something. Simon Peter has walked more on the water than any of us have.
And now the light bulb comes on. And Simon Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, where are we going to go?" And look at the last phrase there in verse 68. "You have the words of life." Wow. The light bulb comes on for this guy. And he says, "There ain't nobody like Jesus." I like that phrase. Let's say that together. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Say that again. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Say that again. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "There ain't nobody like Jesus." Simon Peter grasped that fact. Listen, folks, Christianity isn't church. It isn't peace in the storm. It isn't getting baptized. It isn't walking an aisle. It isn't coming and kneeling at an altar. It isn't some fellowship supper. It isn't music. It isn't preaching. It isn't Sunday school. It isn't confirmation. It isn't catechism. I want you to know Christianity is consuming Jesus. That's it. Why? Because there ain't nobody like Jesus. That's it. That's it. And the reality is, you don't need anything else when you've got Jesus. All right, look at verse 69. And he says, "To whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life, and we believe. And
We believe. We've made up our mind. You remember that old bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it? You remember that? Then, not long after that, there was a bumper sticker that came out that said, God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or not. I like that. All right, I met Grace. I met Grace Felix when she was 93. Matter of fact, it was her 93rd birthday. Her son and daughter-in-law asked me to go to the rest home and meet Melvin's mother, Grace, and celebrate her 93rd birthday with her. And I said, that'd be great. Glad to do that. So I went to the rest home with her, and I'm telling you, she was a spunky girl. 93 years old. She was feisty, quick-witted, just sharp as a tack. And so I met her for the very first time on her 93rd birthday, and I'm getting acquainted with her, finding out about her. And she's sitting there in her rocking chair with her shawl around her. And we're talking, and we're celebrating, and we're eating cake and ice cream. And she's just talking back. And finally I said, Miss Felix, I can't believe you're 93. And she looks up at me. And she said, young man, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's so. And Simon Peter says, and we believe. We believe. Now let me tell you something, folks. The sooner you come to that declaration, the better your life's going to be. Just like Peter said. To whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life, and we believe. And we believe. Because you see, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. You ain't going to change the character of God one ounce. You might as well get on board with who He is and what He's done and His Word that can, in fact, bring about transformation in your life. Determine in your mind and heart, I believe. Do you have a determined faith? No, look at the next thing. Verse 69. And we believe, look at this, and are sure. You see what he says? We believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe it. We believe in who you are. We believe in why you're here. We believe in what you're doing. He says, we believe it. And I'm sure. Why don't you say that with me? I believe and I'm sure. Here we go. I believe and I'm sure. Say it again. I believe and I'm sure. Say it again. I believe and I'm sure. When you get up tomorrow morning, you look up and say, I believe and I'm sure. Great way to start your day. I believe and I'm sure. You see, God has decreed for me
some things that I should decree. Jesus is the Christ. I believe and I'm sure. Jesus is God. I believe and I'm sure. The Bible is truth. I believe and I'm sure. The devil is a loser. I believe and I'm sure. Heaven is my home. I believe and I'm sure. Death is no threat. I believe and I'm sure. My sins are forgiven. I believe and I'm sure. I am a born again, heaven bound, blood bought, spirit sought, hell fought, God caught, Jesus wrought Christian, and I believe and I am sure. Anybody got any questions? Come on! Here's the last thing. Look at verse 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Wow. Interesting how he wraps that up, isn't it? Wonder if he's talking about anybody here tonight. It's not just... of course, not just a program we go through. I mean, you may have checked into that program and said, "Okay, I've checked into this program, and I'm going to be here for a year." But if you're really understanding what CORE's all about, and many of you are, then you've come to discover, you know what? It ain't about a program, it's about a person. The only one that can transform your life. What's his name?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, that's right. You see, in this group, one was a counterfeit Christian, a placebo pilgrim, a false follower, a deceitful disciple, an apostate apostle. Question is, where do we stand in that? Where are we? We better know that Jesus knows. You see, is it mere profession or is it meaningful possession? Is it pretense or is it practice? Is it good faith or is it genuine faith? Have you come just for information and inspiration, or have you in fact come for transformation followed by confirmation? Is it just an empty space, or are you the real picture of Christianity that God, the master artist, has painted on the canvas of your heart? Man, I love you. Deliberate discipleship is what I need. How about you? Well, let me pray with you. Father, I pray for myself and for every one of these friends. Every one of them. Father, I desperately want them to follow Jesus and never turn back. I pray that through their time here at CORE, that they would discover the reality of Jesus.
And I pray that they would come to know that Jesus is able to produce what He's promised. He said, I've come that you might have life eternal and that you might have life abundant. Lord, I pray that every one of these here tonight, during this time at CORE, they would come to discover that that's exactly what Jesus offers them. And I pray that for each of them, they would become deliberate disciples. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.